इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
हाय एंड वेलकम बैक टू इंडिया एट 70 हियर एट इतिहास। इन दिस एपिसोड वी टेक इट फॉरवर्ड फ्रॉम वेयर वी हैड लेफ्ट। इन आवर लास्ट पॉडकास्ट एपिसोड ऑन राइट टू एजुकेशन वी हैड डिस्कस्ड द जनरल फीचर्स ऑफ दिस लैंडमार्क लेजिस्लेशन, बट मोर देन फीचर्स इट इज इंटरेस्टिंग एंड मोर रेलेवेंट टू नो द एक्चुअल ऑन ग्राउंड रियालिटी एंड ऑफ कोर्स द रिपरकशंस ऑफ दीज प्रोविजंस। So as promised, we, that is I and my lawyer journalist friend Ketki Latkar.
Hello everyone.
So we are here with part two of this podcast, more driven by opinion and popular arguments that have come out in the public domain through in-person discussion with parents, students, school authorities, and of course, through various news reports. Right at the beginning of this discussion, I want to share an experience which I recently had in Switzerland, and it is an educational reality for them. So in Switzerland, especially in the German-speaking parts of the country, it is highly encouraged for the children to walk to their schools. Idea? Great, amazing. How is it brought in action? Well, to begin with, the state ensures that there is a good school in every municipal block. So say there has to be a school with good facilities and good teaching standards in every square kilometer. Once that is established, the state then highly encourages the parents to enroll their child in the school which is nearest to their home. Now, parents do not really have a reason to say that they will send the kid to a faraway school because a good school is really nearby. To top it all, the sidewalks around their schools have little footprints marked on them which are very cute to look at, but they are there so that the small kids can just follow the trail of those footprints and reach their school. And every child walking to the school wears a neon color badge so that the cars know that these are school going kids. They make sure that they wait for them while the kids are crossing the roads or help them if need be. Now after all this, Ketki, you tell me, why can't a 5-year-old child safely walk to the school on its own? The reason I shared this situation is that in countries like Switzerland, there is a collective participation in realizing the government's dream. That makes it pretty much successful. Also, the dreams are woven in sync with the practical realities and then they seem feasible. Coming back to our story, let us now discuss whether the government's legislation of the RTE Act is close to such foolproof implementation.
Okay, so hello everyone. And, answering your question, Sneha, mostly the discussion about RTE is usually about this 25% reservation that's been widely discussed. And this section seems to have captured the collective imagination of everyone. I mean, right from educators to politicians to activists and of course the active stakeholders. And usually they are engaging in totally heated discussions around this. But I think it is rather unfortunate that the public debate on the Right to Education Act is getting limited almost exclusively only to this cause.
Okay.
And you know, the thing is, giving reservations is not the problem solver. It in fact brings with itself a series of consequential issues. And RTE has no answers to them. So let's say, for example, there's this seemingly absurd and elitist argument which says that children from the weaker sections would be misfits and that they would pull down the overall standards of the classroom. This is with reference to the 25% reservation that we are talking.
Right.
So here's the first task, you know, do we entirely rubbish this allegation as supremacist and classist? So even if we decide to do that, ultimately, if the majority of the parents, which is the 75%, is uncomfortable with the idea of this utopian integration, are they completely wrong? I mean, I'm not espousing any thought in particular here, because I have not sailed in that boat yet. But you know, from what I have gathered, it seems like there are numerous instances where the 75% of the class comes from one world and gets a glimpse of the other world during school hours. Most of the time, as has been reported by many parents, children pick up slang, cuss words from the others who come from different, socio-economic as also cultural backgrounds. So how do you stop that? At times, these children also have questionable hygiene, and that is a matter of great concern for many parents.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I have had many friends and relatives telling me how, you know, they're not really happy about this new compulsory initiative for the same reasons that you just mentioned.
Yeah, and it's not just one way, you know, in terms of maladjustments. Children, I mean, the 75% are generally from well-to-do or affluent or, I mean, at least, let's say, upwardly mobile families. And for them, access to tuitions or this top-class learning aids and other recreations and even the lifestyle choices, it's all absolutely first world. Now, RTE can only bring the 25% to share the same educational space with the others.
Right.
But watching most of the children in the classroom leading a certain and, let's say, seemingly out of the league life only ends up reminding the minorities that they are deprived, that they are the weaker sections of the society. And this disparity will not bridge so easily.
That's right.
And, you know, this can have tremendous psychological impact on the students from these marginalized households.
Absolutely. In fact, I would be, to tell you the truth, I would be more worried about what happens to them once they pass out of the RTE's bracket. The first big unanswered question relates to the fate of these 25% children after they turn 14. Because RTE provides only until the age of 14. So, what later?
Absolutely. I can't agree more. I mean, it is just absurd that this possible consequence has not been considered by the lawmakers. I mean, predictably, these children will have to leave these schools and slip back to schools of questionable standards, which is bound to be again psychologically traumatizing. And again, how well would they reintegrate in these schools, you know, especially after going to private schools for elementary education? So you see, it's not really as rosy as it seems. You know, now another thing that the RTE Act has done is that it has put all unrecognized institutions, the good and the bad, under a threat of closure.
Okay.
And to give you numbers, today between 35 million to 60 million children are not in schools.
That's huge.
Yes, that's tremendous. And if the number of schools suddenly comes down, the nation's goal of ensuring universal literacy is going to suffer massively.
True.
And the RTE Act formulations are based on some unrealistic and strange principle that recognized schools would not only be able to accommodate the students from schools that close down, but also have immense room for new entrants. So, we don't know how though.
That's weird and that worries me because at this rate, Ketki, the recognized schools would possibly have like 100 students in every class and the student-teacher ratio will go for a toss. Can you imagine the burden these schools will have to take infrastructure-wise?
It is going to be troublesome for every party involved to cope with this sort of increasing pressure on the infrastructure. And now coming to the most ambiguous aspect of the RTE Act, you know, there's great emphasis on physical infrastructure in schools. But very little or close to nothing has been said about the teaching standards. And, you know, you will be shocked. But in most of our 6 lakh villages, the teaching of children at primary level is in the hands of barely educated para teachers, as they call them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, more startling is that the qualification to become a para teacher or a contract teacher in most states is completion of higher secondary or even secondary school. And
wow,
there's no correction in this aspect that has been proposed, even proposed by RTE. So, you know, clearly, according to this, whatever this act says, this particular section says, RTE accords very little importance to teaching standards, which is the major shortcoming in our educational system, in fact.
I agree. In fact, teaching is generally never viewed as an attractive or even aspirational career option in our country at any level. Secondary, primary, it doesn't matter. Good people do not come to teaching as it is. And if the legal system is going to burden them even more, I doubt if any qualified people would consider teaching in the first place, even though probably every child would have to be enrolled in a school based on this law.
And you know, finally, before I forget to mention, a deeply disturbing aspect was highlighted by many school managements I have spoken to. And you know, they say that the RTE Act, by giving absolute power to the education department and local bodies, is likely to become the ideal tool for large-scale and systematic corruption.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even when there was no specific law against unrecognized institutions, the school inspectors had to be appeased, despite the school doing nothing illegal. Now, you know what I mean? And now with the RT Act in force, the inspectors will have a free rein to engage in corrupt practices, if at all, which is a huge threat for the future.
Mm.
And it is not difficult to foresee a large number of undeserving schools getting recognition and a good deal of meritorious schools shutting down.
Well, tell me something. Say some school asks for a donation, that is the capitation fee while admitting students in the school. Now, Right to Education Act says that action has to be taken against them and they'll be fined. But does this really happen?
Yeah, I mean, see, going by the letter of law, there is a penal provision for you know, asking donations. But the question is, how many such cases end up even getting reported? See, in the end, parents want their ward to get into the school, by hook or by crook. If money is going to do the deal for them, then they end up paying and succumbing to the situation. So, you know, in the first go, RTE seems like a tremendous welfare change. And, you know, to a certain extent, we must agree that in many aspects, it does hold merit and can work as game-changing. But there are multiple loopholes too. Some may argue that it is at best a statement of good intent.
Mm.
So it's very difficult to conclusively label it as black or white. Rather, it is still very early. So, you know, let us hope in the coming years it works out well and overcomes the stumbling blocks that it seems to have created. Till then what? I mean, we just have to sit and wait and watch.
Well said. Right to Education is definitely a landmark legislation, something that affects us as a country because it deeply affects how our next generation is going to be. You know, as of now, all that we can do is wait, watch and hope that roadblocks could be gotten over with and we raise a generation which is well educated, free and independent in thoughts and in action. That's the best we can hope for.
Absolutely.